Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading, Luke 15. Let us pray as we continue to hear the word of God, we pray. Lord, teach us this day. Teach us of sin that we may repent and come to our senses. Teach us of salvation, of your amazing grace that we may believe and rejoice in it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, how would you describe your family? My family is blank. Maybe you would say, my family is nice. Everybody treats themselves well, respect, love. My family's nice. You might say on the opposite end, my family's kind of mean. We're kind of rude. We argue. We fight. We don't get along that well. My family is big. My family is small. Most of us would say my family's very busy. We have lots of activities. When I was growing up, the Buescher family was known as being a loud family. Now, that's hard to believe, but the Buescher kids were kind of loud, kind of unruly. It's Buescher kids. How would you describe your family? How would you describe the family in Luke 15? We have a very famous family talked about by Jesus. We have a father and two sons. How would you describe this family? I'll give you my term and describe it today. There are many terms one could use. I would call this family here in Luke 15 a family of fools. It's an utter family of fools. There is a big fool in this family. There's a bigger fool in the family. And then I suggest there's the biggest fool of all. It's quite a foolish family when you get down to it. And you and I are part of the family, so are we not fools too? First of all, there is a big fool in the family. And I call the big fool in the family the younger son. The first son mentioned, the younger son. He is a big fool because he is selfish. He is greedy. He is disrespectful. It's quite obvious from the text. We know the story. He demands his share of the estate. This is unheard of back in that day and even in our day. What kid demands his inheritance before the parents die? This is unheard of. This is shocking. This is disrespectful. He's saying to his dad, Dad, I wish you would just die, but you're not dead yet, so can I have my money now? Disrespectful. He's a fool. And he doesn't ask his father politely on his hands and knees, please, Dad, can I please have a little money? Please. He doesn't discuss it with his father. Can we have a discussion about this, Dad? He demands it. Father, give me my share. And then he gets it. Doesn't even say thank you. What a fool. And then not only that, he of course squanders all of it, apparently in just a few days, a few weeks. He squanders all of it. And the point of the parable at this point is to say he spent everything. Fool! It'd be one thing if he took the money and invested it. I'm going to go to the bank. I'm going to go to the stock market and invest here or there. I'm going to try to make some more money. Okay. At least you're thinking ahead. One thing if he paid his college tuition. Okay, I got college tuition set apart. One thing if he just put it in the bank, got some interest. Used it wisely in some way. That'd be one thing, okay? But he squanders all of it. And it'd be one thing if he just squandered a little bit of it. Okay, 95% I'm going to put in the bank or use wisely. I'm going to take a little money and go off and go to Las Vegas. Some of you do that. Run off and blow a little money and have a little fun. And it's not a good thing, but okay. He's a young kid. He's going to blow a little money. We all have done that. But he squanders every penny. What a fool. In reckless worldly living. This first son represents all of us that want immediate gratification. He's a good American, this young man. He is a good American young man or older man or young woman. I want it right now. I want money and I want it right now. I want a car, I want it right now. I want pleasure, I want it right now. I want sex. I want it right now. I want this and that. And I want it right now. I want to be popular. I want it right now. I want power. I want it right now. I got to have it right now. No patience. no perspective, no respect, an utter fool. You know whose birthday it was yesterday? I read on whose birthday it was. She is now 54 years old. Barbie. Barbie turned 54 and she still looks pretty good. She's plastic, but she never ages. Always has that blonde hair. Always has a smile. And then there's Ken. What guy didn't inwardly really want to be Ken? Greg Buckner kind of is Ken, but that's just Greg. He's just good looking. All right? Young, always stay young, have a smile on your face, you have every outfit you need, every house you need, everything you need, you have it all. With a smile on your face, you never age. Pleasure, you. That's America. We all want to be Barbie and Ken and never grow up and have everything. Friends, we're not plastic. We're people. He's a big fool. And yet we don't want to be too hard on him today, for he does what? He repents. He becomes the wise son, for he repents. The text says he came to himself. Literally, it means he came to his senses. The idea is that he was using his senses for worldly things, money, pleasure, stuff out there. Now he turns his senses on himself. He uses his eyes to look at himself. Here I am, and I'm with pigs. What's wrong with me? He uses his nose. He smells his sense. He smells pig manure. It's all over the place. It's on him. I smell like a pig. He uses his mouth and he tastes pig slop. Why am I eating pig slop? He touches pigs. He uses his senses finally to look at himself. What kind of condition am I in? I'm with pigs eating pig slop, wallowing in mud. I'll go back to my father. Much better there. I'll even be a slave there. I don't want to eat pigs. Repent. You're the prodigal son, this first big fool son. We all are. We've all strayed. The idea is come. Don't wait till you hit rock bottom. Don't wait till you're in the pig swamp. Why not repent today? Come back today. Turn to Christ today. Believe today. Come home today. And keep coming back. Why wait until it gets really bad? Repent now. You all know the show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Well, I watch that show and often I'm not smarter than a fifth grader. Christianity is this. Here's Christianity. Are you smarter than a pig? He's wallowing in the mud eating pig slop. Duh! I'll turn to God. I'll turn to my father. I don't want to live like a pig. Do you want to wallow in the mud as a pig? Or follow Christ as a sheep and be saved? Big fool, but he repents. He's wise. Secondly, there is, I would say, a bigger fool, although probably much the same in the end. And the bigger fool, I would say, is this older son, the second son. The first son's a fool because of his greed. The second son is a fool because he gripes and he grumbles. And in a way, he's even a bigger fool. First of all, he is very unforgiving. You think out of politeness he would go into the party. Wouldn't we do that? Many of you went to a party. You didn't want to go, but you went out of politeness for a few minutes. You made an appearance. You think he would do that. Look, I don't want to go. I'm mad at my brother. But out of respect for my father and people are here, I don't want to make a scene. I'll stop in for a few minutes, say hi, eat a bite of steak, and go off. Doesn't do that. I'm not going to go in. A cold, bitter heart. Holding a grudge. I'm not going to celebrate. I don't want to see my father. I don't want to see that brother's face. I don't want to see anybody. He is a bigger fool. When we are unforgiving and we hold a grudge, how foolish we look when we say we're Christians. For it totally goes against being a Christian when we have a hard heart and won't forgive somebody. Don't call yourself a Christian anymore. You hurt the reputation of the church and Jesus. And how he hurts the reputation of his father who forgives. He's also a fool because he's so unthankful and so unappreciative. His father comes out and entreats him. He pleads with him. You see, the father can't demand that he come to the party. I demand, son, you're going to show up at the party. Now get in here. You can't demand forgiveness. The father pleads, come on. He was dead, now he's alive, he's lost. Come on, I forgive him. The community forgives him. The servants forgive him. We're all here to have a party. We all forgive. Won't you forgive him? You're the only big fool who won't forgive. So come on. He implores and pleads with him. And the son says, what? I've worked for you all these years. You don't even give me a young goat. And I haven't done anything wrong against you. He's self-righteous. Yeah, right, you haven't done anything wrong. Get out the violin and play a sad song for this crybaby. The father has loved you, given you a home, given you a room, food, a job. And by the way, he got his share of the estate too. Did you read that? The younger son got a third. This older guy got two-thirds of his share early too. Does he even say thanks about it? I don't get anything. He got two-thirds of the estate. Unthankful, unappreciative. I would suggest a bigger fool. And the story, as we talked about in Bible class, is left a bit open-ended. Does he ever come into the party? We don't know. Does he forgive? You see, we end the story, we Christians. Will you forgive your brother or will you fight? Will you be gracious or will you hold a grudge and give a cold shoulder? Will you absolve and forgive or will you just be angry? And angry. What will you do? Would any of you take a rock ever and knock out a window? You're going to go get a rock. You're so mad. You plaster one of the windows. Just throw it at the church. I'm so mad. Did you ever do that? Would you ever take gasoline and pour it around the church and school and set the place on fire? Would you do that? Of course not. When you don't forgive, and you hold a grudge, you're throwing rocks at the church. And you're doing a lot worse than breaking a window. You're breaking people's hearts. And you're God's heart. You're throwing stones. And what's even worse is when you gossip about that person. And you slander them in the church. You talk about how bad they were and you spread that. You're setting the church on fire. With your gossip, your slander, your hard-heartedness. How dare you talk about that here? Go make peace. Go forgive. Do it today. The Father shows us what He expects of His children. He is forgiving. He expects us to be forgiving, to reconcile like He does. Come join the feast. Is there someone you need to forgive? Go to them today, right after church. You got to make peace. Don't wait around. Don't hold a grudge. You go make peace for the sake of your own relationship and to bring glory to God and to give glory to your Father, whose reputation is all about forgiveness. And then there's the biggest fool. And the biggest fool of the whole story is the Father. In a worldly sense, he is an incredible fool. The first son is greedy. The second son is grumbling and griping. And this father is way, way, way too gracious. He's too loving. He's too merciful. He's going to be taken advantage of. What kind of father is this? What's he teaching his sons after all? First of all, three things about how he is a fool in love with his son. First of all, he's way too patient, we would say. He's too patient with the first son, the younger son. No doubt the father hears about the reckless living of the younger son. He hears about how the prostitutes are there and gambling, whatever else he's done, all his immoral, wicked behavior. He's heard about this. The younger son has ruined the father's reputation. The father has a good reputation. He's ruined it. And this, you can hear the servant saying to the father, forget about that bum. Disown that bum. If he ever comes back, we're going to kill him for what he's done to you in your name, father. But the father would hear, no, none of it. No, I'm not going to give up. No, I'm not going to disown him. The father waits patiently for the son to return. Notice the text, the father saw him coming up the road, which means the father was doing what? He was watching. Every day the father's watching. Is it going to be today? Is he coming home today? Will it be today? And all the servants are saying, come on, father, get on with life. He's gone. Forget the bum. The father's watching. So patient. When's he coming back? I long for him. I want him back. I love him. We would say he's a fool. Give up on him. God gives up on no one. God gives up on no one. Secondly, and this is the meat of the story, he pardons unconditionally. He forgives unconditionally. This is a vivid, detailed story of the forgiveness of God. He runs out to the Son. He takes all the shame and embarrassment upon himself. All the eyes are on this pig-smelling Son that can smell him from far away. Here comes that bum. He smells like a pig. The Father runs after him. And now all the servants are looking at the Father. Look at that old man run. The old man's running. What's he doing? This is very degrading for an old man's society back then. To run open publicly. He has to pull up his robe. Look at that old man. He takes all the embarrassment upon himself. Look at me. Don't look at the Son anymore. He takes all that upon himself. Then what? He hugs him. The first thing the Son sees is this. He doesn't see this. I'm going to blow you away, buddy. He doesn't see this. I'm going to lay the letter to you. He sees this. From his Father. And what's this? A cross. Kisses him. Hugs him. The Father takes pig slop on himself. He smells now like a pig. He joins in the sin, if you will. He's dirty smelling also. That's our God who takes sin upon himself and becomes sin for us. The kiss and the hug is absolution. And notice this is the key to the whole story. The Father forgives him before the Son ever says a word of repentance. Don't ever think forgiveness is conditioned by your repentance. As if your repentance some magically turns something on in God's heart. The Father didn't hear a word yet and he kisses and hugs him. That's just the way God is. We need to repent. But the Father is forgiving and gracious. Hugs him and kisses him before the Son ever says a word. The Son has this rehearsed thing in his mind. I'll just say I'm going to be a slave. Doesn't even get a word out hardly. And he's forgiven. That's God. Unconditional forgiveness. Hug and kiss, a ring on his finger, you're reinstated as my son. You're not going to be a slave. You're my son. All rights reinstated. Even though you blew up money, you're still my son. You're always going to be my son. No probation, none of that. A robe, I'm going to cover over your stink and your filth. Your robe, giving back his dignity. Sandals on the feet, you're giving back his dignity. You're my son. What love. And notice there's no conditions. He doesn't say, son, now pay everything back in a year. You're going to work hard out here. You're going to pay every dime back. None of that. He doesn't say, look, son, you're going to take the Dave Ramsey class on financial planning. You're going to learn how to spend money. None of that. Look, son, you're going to grovel and apologize to everybody in the family and the whole community if you want to be back. None of that. It's unconditional grace. And so I suggest, foolish father. What's his sons learning from him? They're learning love. They're learning love. Your sons and daughters, have they learned love? Have the children learned love? The love of the Father. Then one more thing, he makes it public. What a foolish dad. It's not a private thing. Okay, son, I forgive you, but let's not tell anybody. Because everybody else hates you. Let's have a party. We're going to invite the community. We're going to invite all the servants. We're going to get your older son, your older brother here. Let's have a party. Let's kill the fattened calf. We're going to party and celebrate. For you're back, you're alive. It's a public announcement. The Father wants to be known as a Father who loves and forgives. He doesn't hide it. Wow. You guys all know Pastor Buescher likes basketball. I'm a basketball fan. I'm a football fan. A baseball fan, a golf fan, a hockey fan, soccer fan, kind of. I'm an Indiana fan, a Notre Dame fan, a halfway Tennessee fan when they win a little bit. Would you ever think Pastor Buescher is a Mary Poppins fan? Some of you know I went to see Mary Poppins Friday. Loved it. And I told the Bible class, if there's a matinee, every man should take his wife. Can I hear an amen from the ladies? You don't want to go either? Come on. Pastor Buescher and Mary Poppins? An unlikely match. And oh, what an unlikely match. A holy, righteous God and dirty, pig-smelling, filthy, griping, grumbling sinners. That's God's whole reputation wrapped up in a match. Reconciled. Forgiven. You're back in the family. There is a third son in the story. There's a third son. That's the son telling the story. This is the perfect son who would die for the greedy son and would die for the griping son and bring reconciliation back to the Father for both sons, for all of us. His work is to come at the cross and the resurrection for these greedy, griping, grumbling sons. So whether we are a big fool or we are a bigger fool, may we know that we all have a foolish Father who loves us no matter what, who forgives us no matter what, who is full of amazing grace. Let's stand and sing.